Declaration of Independence was signed in 1776, a document which affirms our individual identity as an American people. By the late 1870s, we had arrived at a unique identity after we had fought for our independence, our culture, and our unity. However, how much of this American identity did we start out with, way back in 1776? Certain parts of the American identity stayed the same throughout the course of early American history. However, our concept of American unity did change drastically as the years progressed. Therefore, we've grown more as a country than we've stayed the same. So, what stayed the same? When talking about continuities in our American identity, it's easiest to go from top to bottom. At the top, we have our politicians and our wealthy. Overall, the most politically and socially powerful. Lo and behold, these men look nearly identical when 1776 and 1877 are compared. Compare John Adams to Rutherford B. Hayes. White? Check. Old? Check. Man? Also check. Jefferson and Taylor? Check. Madison and Polk? Check. It's telling that in this period of over 100 years, the people in power remained practically the same. Different people, same person. It could be argued, though, that the era of the common man during the 1820s through the 1840s disproves this trend. This era was brought about by Jackson's presidency, and it encouraged the enfranchisement of the, quote, common man. Asterisks on common and man. During this era, slavery raged on, immigrants were detested, and women had still not attained the right to vote. Who does that leave? Who was the common man? White men. It appears as though this is a major part of the American identity, at least during this time period. There's the top. What about the bottom? At the lower ends of the social hierarchy, we have racial minorities. Slavery existed in the United States far before in 1776 and continued on through the Civil War. The concept of slavery did not change much in this period. Slavery was abolished in 1865, though it was not eradicated completely. Sharecropping grew as a concept, something many African Americans who had just escaped slavery were forced into. Further, black codes were created specifically to put black people down after slavery. Poll taxes were created to disenfranchise black voters. So, even after slavery ended, the social position of black people did not change that much. These rigid social structures were a remnant of early American history, and were a continuity through the era of the common man, the Civil War, Reconstruction, and beyond. So, what did change? Wait, before I answer that, think about who you voted for in the last election. You got it? What party were they in? Were they Democrat? Were they Republican? Maybe you voted for a third party. No matter who you're thinking of right now or which party they belong to, George Washington would be absolutely appalled. That's right! George Washington's farewell address explicitly stated not to form political parties. From the beginning of this country, the Founding Fathers went out of their way to ensure the country wouldn't be split for regional or political differences. This was successful, as long as you ignore the Jefferson-Hamilton feud, the regional economic differences, bleeding Kansas, the annexation of Texas, the caning of Sumner, and the years between 1861 and 1865. The father of our country isn't mad, he's just disappointed. It was our definition of American unity that did change over the years. A part of that, though, was our country's expansion south and west. Jefferson's Louisiana Purchase in 1803 practically doubled the size of the country. Ideas of manifest destiny also started to emerge in the early 1800s, and as people settled in the West, they identified with the people in their regions and states and fought for their best interests. Additionally, adding more states into the Union brought in new problems, like whether a state was a slave state or not. Many compromises were brought in to solve this issue, most notably the Missouri Compromise and the Compromise of 1850. However, if you know anything about the early 1860s, you would know that the country was pretty much beyond compromise. We'd hit the point of no return, which brings us to our biggest change, the definition of freedom itself. There were a couple groups fighting for freedom in the 1860s. If you remember, the Declaration of Independence way back in 1776 declared freedom from the British. At this time, this applied to the country as a whole, but did not free individuals within it. Slavery continued, women did not have the right to vote, etc. As the years went on, different groups fought for the American definition of liberty to be expanded. The Southern United States fought for, quote, liberty from the Union. However, as history would show, the South was mainly fighting for the suppression of another group fighting for freedom,
enslaved people. Black people fought for their freedom through both legal action, i.e. the Dred Scott Supreme Court case of 1857, and through slave revolts, such as the Nat Turner Revolt. Battles were fought and won, amendments were drafted and ratified, and the very definition of American freedom was expanded. What does this all mean? It means that despite our flaws, we have moved forward as a country. The Constitution is often cited as a living document, which reflects our country's ever-changing and morphing values. From 1776 to 1877, the United States of America entered a period of growth and change, which altered the American identity forever.